Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Depression among children has increased substantially during the COVID lockdowns. We're going to be talking about this and why the church is even more essential now than ever. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me to discuss this important topic on Faith and Freedom is Holly Mead. You know, Holly, in March of 2020 specifically, when some of these lockdowns began, we began to push back and say that the church needed to be open, it's essential, and that there's going to be all these social problems that increase, including depression. Now what we see, not only in America, but around the world, studies are confirming exactly our concerns, and the numbers and what we see happening with these lockdowns are staggering. This is a recent research report that has come out, and this one is a report of children between ages 7.5 and 11.5 years old before and after, this is in the UK, government imposed the lockdowns. So this is looking at the same age group, 7.5 to 11.5, before the lockdowns, what their mental health and depression rate was, and then looking after what happened following the first lockdown. And the report concludes, quote, a significant increase in depression symptoms among these children, 7.5 to 11.5 years old.
You know, and also there's a report released by the CDC recently saying that more than 25% of young Americans aged 18 to 24 have seriously considered killing themselves. You know, that is tragic, Matt. I mean, the disease, yeah, the virus, yeah, people have struggled with it, suffered with it. But I think these factors are even more serious. You've got young people that their whole routine has been uprooted and they're isolated, and now they're considering taking their lives because of all this. They've seen an increase in anxiety, depression, and one mental health program director in Boston said by early fall, many Massachusetts ERs were seeing about four times more children and teens in psychiatric crisis weekly. Wow. Than usual.
And, you know, you wonder what the long-term effect of that is.
Yeah.
Certainly the short-term effect is horrible. And here's a story in Maine. And this kind of a story, by the way, is not isolated, because these stories, we've seen them around the country and even around the world. This is in Maine. This is a 16-year-old boy in Maine. He died by suicide after struggling with the isolation of virtual classes during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to his parents. And his father says that in looking back, he played football, but they weren't able to play football, so he stopped working out. He stopped riding his bike, as much as to the point that he did not even want to work out anymore. He took naps instead of working out. He developed these signs of depression. He missed catching up, you know, with his friends. He struggled with the online programs. You have to understand, there are very few schools, particularly the public schools, even many of the private schools, that were equipped and are equipped to do a sufficient online program.
Right, and they've really been encouraging kids not to touch each other, you know, isolating them with these plexiglass things with masks. And
that's if they can actually go to school.
Yeah, if they can actually go to school, or they're stuck behind a computer, you know, having class. And we weren't created for that. God created us for fellowship, you know, to interact with each other. And this is just totally taking a psychiatric toll on these young people.
This report, that is a recent report on this issue regarding these young people, said with schools closed, routines disrupted, and parents anxious over lost income or uncertain futures, children are shouldering new burdens many are unequipped to bear. And with the increase of these lockdowns, it's worse. More than 25% of young Americans ages 18 to 24 have seriously considered killing themselves just during a one-month survey in 2020, according to the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly report recently released by the Centers for Disease and Prevention, or the CDC. The coronavirus pandemic has been associated with mental health challenges related to morbidity and mortality caused by the disease and to mitigation activities, meaning what you're doing in terms of the lockdowns, including the impact of physical distancing and stay-at-home orders, the report began. It says symptoms of anxiety disorder and depressive disorder increased considerably in the United States during April to June of 2020 compared with the same period in 2019. Children and teens suffering from mental health issues have struggled to find adequate help during the pandemic. So you add all of this together, and it's not just the teens, but the teens are dying because of these draconian, ill-advised lockdowns that it is killing people, but they're saying that they're trying to help people. And I understand about trying to prevent the virus's spread, but you can't have the so-called cure, all the lockdowns, worse than the disease itself. And so people are dying because of these governors that are issuing these executive orders, locking people down.
And you have to remember, these young people are not only dealing with all this, all these issues themselves, but they're absorbing what their parents are dealing with, whether losing their jobs or they've been, you know, quarantined or whatever issue they're worrying about. How are we going to put food on their table and those kind of things? So they're absorbing that in addition to what they're dealing with.
You know, in Florida, it has a lot less restrictions than a lot of the rest of the country. And that's thanks to the Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who has really pushed back against all of these lockdowns. There's a few governors in the country that have done that, primarily Republican governors, like the governor of South Dakota, never shut down the state out there.
And had very low cases as well.
So what we have, you know, in Florida is a lot more freedom than you do in other parts of the country. But when the students go to school, they're being put through the propaganda machine, social distancing, and wear your mask. And if you don't, you're going to ultimately contaminate somebody, cause somebody to get sick. So I know in going out to eat at restaurants, for example, in Florida, outside, you'll see the parents not wearing masks. Nobody's wearing masks when they're sitting down. But the little kids, or the kids that are in this age group that we just talked about, they're wearing masks, and they only take them off oftentimes when they're eating. Now, how are they getting that when their parents aren't doing it? Because they're getting the propaganda at the schools,
right,
when they're going to particularly the public schools. And what kind of mental health long-term impact is that going to have on them? What kind of fears and phobias will it create in these young people? You know, when we first began and we said the church needs to be open, people pushed back. Less people do now, but people pushed back and said, oh, you're going to cause people to die. And in fact, that's not Christian. You need to love your neighbor. Well, you know, loving your neighbor doesn't mean isolating yourself in your home. The church has never run from the problem. Mm-hmm. And churches that we represent all over the country, they have gone to extraordinary lengths to sanitize, do social distancing, other kinds of health precautions all over the country. And so we represent a lot of these amazing ministries that not only are meeting, but they're doing extraordinary health precautions over and above what is happening in the secular world.
They're definitely not reckless because they care about their people. It's like family. You're going to take care of your family versus when you go to Walmart, you know, and you're among all those people, that there's not that same concern.
That's right. And some, you know, churches don't have the opportunity to reach all the people through online, and you can't. And what we said originally is that all of these social conditions of depression, anxiety, and drugs and domestic abuse, all of those were going to rise, child abuse, all of those were going to increase. And they have, and the studies worldwide have shown it. The church needs to be open. The church can be open and do their meetings in a way that protects health. But you can't have the church locked down. It's unconstitutional. We've ultimately now have Supreme Court cases that agree with us on that issue, and we're litigating this across the country. We have cases pending at the U.S. Supreme Court now. Our case out of Illinois is the first case ready for a full review. We and all the pastors that we work with said, you know, we shut down originally because we didn't know, but then we realized the problems in our community, the church needed to be open.
Even more so.
And when you see these tragic stories of the teens committing suicide or thinking of self-harm because of this isolation, we need to pray for this country, for the world, and we need to pray that the church transforms the community. Now is not the time for churches to be closed. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.